Hi, everybody. Hi. Well, as Graham said, Bill asked us to put something together about 2017. And for myself, I'm sure many of you have the same thing, but what do you highlight out of an entire year of walking with God? I could say, like Bill said, I've had a lot of, and my wife and I, as a family, we've gone through a lot of stuff, good things and not so good things. Children are a blessing and a blessing. And work has been very busy, which is a blessing, but also tiring. So, yeah, about this year. 2 days ago, I was reading just in the morning, spending some time just with the Lord, and he highlighted one word to me, and it was, behold. And I know Bill mentioned something about it last Sunday where the angels come and they say, behold. And I know he said to the point, like, if an angel says, behold, to you, you'd think you'd stop and listen, like, or you should pay attention. So I'm like, okay, I felt like he just gave me one word, that was it. I'm like, well, I know it's in the Bible, so it's got to be from God. So I was like, I'll ask my friend Google what it has to say about behold. So the word behold says to see or observe a thing or a person, especially remarkable or impressive one. And then their example is, behold your king. To me, that sounds pretty much like Jesus. And then the other examples are, it says see, observe, view, look at, watch, survey, witness, gaze at or upon, regard, contemplate, inspect, eye, catch sight of, glimpse, spot, spy, notice. And then their example is, behold, the prince returns. I said, hey, that sounds like Jesus too. And then, so there's a, I didn't have like a specific verse necessarily that I could tie that into. Like I was reading it whenever I came across it was in John. It's 1 John like 29 through 37. It says it three times there. But the one I was kind of led to was in 2 Corinthians. It's 2 Corinthians 3, 17 through 18. And that's a New King James Version. So I'll just reboot it. Says, it says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So then when I read that, it says now where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. I'm like, what's liberty? So I just looked up liberty, and it says in the Cambridge English Dictionary was the one thing I got, and it says freedom. Liberty equals release from prison. And to my understanding, where the Spirit of the Lord is, then there is freedom, the release from prison of my own smallness of thinking to the freedom and liberty of what God wants to release to me through beholding his Holy Spirit in me or around me. And then in the verse 18, I had already read it, but it says, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. It also says, where it says we're being transformed into the same image as we behold the glory of the Lord. So I was kind of contemplating with my wife what to share, like I said, and one of the things this year that's probably been the most memorable to me is, even started last year, but into this year was, just in the middle of chaos and confusion and kids crying, yelling, whatever, and me and my wife being having vocal discussions. You know, I just feel like the Lord saying, stop and pray. And I'm like, you know, this is like when you're in the middle of a argument with somebody and it's like, okay, stop, come give me a hug. It doesn't work very well to me. But I felt like I'm saying, no, stop, gather all the kids together, regardless if they want to or not, and pray. Like, focus on me. So to me, that would be, you know, beholding him. And we did that, and I can promise you it wasn't the smoothest each time, but we begrudgingly came together and would pray. And sometimes we'd feel like the Lord would speak something to the kids or myself or to Nellie Ann. Other times it would be like absolutely nothing happened. The second they walked away, it would be right back to, I mean, they were 10 steps away and they'd be back at it again. I'm like, okay, God, that was fun. But then other things we really experienced through the year was Clay had, well, you all know in May when he got that thing, like his eye, all that in his eye. And yeah, we'd done a lot of praying for him. But he was also at the same time dealing with really crazy like migraine headaches, like so bad he couldn't play or anything. So then we would stop and like these headaches would come so bad he couldn't do anything. And I'd gather all the kids together and you know, sometimes we'd put anointing oil on them. But we'd pray for him and say, okay, we're not agreeing with this. This is, you know. And there was many, many times where it was the first time we all prayed as a family. Like even little Kenya would put her hands on him and we'd pray and the headache would go away. Other times it wouldn't go away. So a little bit later when he'd say it again, we'd drag him back together and pray for him. And sometimes it'd be the end of the day when the headache went away. But even just here on the 23rd was his birthday. And 2 days leading up to it, and then even on the 23rd, he had his head hurting so bad. You know, we had his grandpa, Nellie-Ann's dad, promised to bring him out to the trampoline park to get air place. And I'm like, well, that's going to be fun with a crazy headache. Like, he was in tears in the morning, his head hurt so bad. And, you know, Nellie-Ann was kind of discouraged with it because he was really looking forward to this. But he could barely walk. And so he went down and I gathered the kids together. I'm like, no, forget this. We're praying. So we prayed once and his headache, he said the pain went away a tiny bit. Then we probably prayed at least two more times and his headache went completely away. And he went to the trampoline place. We never gave him painkiller, nothing. He jumped the entire time and had a blast. Right, Clay? And then we had similar things. My wife had it just yesterday with a headache. She was feeling really under the weather and just very bad headache. And we had friends scheduled to come over, and it was like, you know, she could hardly see through having people over. Her head hurt so bad. And I had prayed with her in the morning, and then she said it felt a tiny bit different, not much. And then in the evening before the company came, I said, no, we're going to gather the kids and pray again. So we did, and by the time the company got there, she said her headache was gone, and it's still gone. And we had a beautiful evening with the friends that came over. So for me, the thing has been just, it kind of ties into this verse, as, you know, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, there's liberty. Like, liberty, I think for myself, the biggest thing is liberty from me. You know, I'm a great guy and all, but I need to be free of me. So, shush, Graham. But I also, I don't know what Shayna shared, I felt like the Lord was saying, like, this behold, like, that's for her, that is what he wants to highlight when she's in school there. It's just to behold him. But all of us as a family, like, you know, I wanted to also say thank you to you guys as a body. There's many people sitting here that, you know, I would not be here, standing up here or even here if it wouldn't be for your help and your prayers and, you know, all that you've done. And especially I want to thank Pastor Bill for putting up with me and myself. So thank you. Bless you guys. Thanks.
Thanks, Sam. I'm coming to you, Nellie-Ann, for prayer afterwards. I'm not feeling, I know I look good today, but I'm not feeling very good. So I'm coming for prayer afterwards. All right, you guys, pray for me. All right, Danielle. There she is. And you are leaving when? Oh, okay. So we got a ways to go.
We'll see. So my lesson in 2017 has to do with the principle of beauty. So I'm an artist, and I love beautiful things. I have my whole life. And when I'm in a place that's not beautiful, for some reason it just stresses me out. When I was little, I would be sitting on the bus, and you know, like, everyone's shoes are melting, and there's snow everywhere, and it's just all muddy, and there's apple cores on the floor and everything. It would just make me so miserable. And then I would come home, and I would just want to look out the window and look at the trees and all the beautiful things, and it would make me feel better. That's just the way God made me. As an adult, though, I believe, and as a Christian, I believe that beauty comes from God, and there's more than just physical, visible beauty in the world. Because God is a spirit, and there's such a thing as spiritual beauty, too. So this winter, I decided to go back to work at the guest services in the mall. And as I was sitting there, I was thinking, how come this is just like the, basically some people call it the Temple of Mammon, right? And everything here seems in many ways kind of fake. There's advertisements everywhere. There's products for sale that no one needs, really. And how can I see beauty here? There's some pretty things, but they're kind of useless. So I was thinking about the Psalm 19. The beginning of Psalm 19 says, "The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the expanse of heaven is declaring the work of his hands. Day after day pours forth speech, and night after night reveals knowledge. There's no speech, nor are there spoken words from the stars, their voice is not heard. Yet their voice in quiet evidence has gone through all the earth, their words to the end of the world." So I was just trying to understand, how can there be beauty here? Not just like pretty things, but what's the beauty of God here? And I was just asking God to show up. When I'm outside and I'm gardening and I'm looking at the sky, God's showing up all the time. It's just beautiful. When the sun's setting, the mountains are on fire, or when there's this beautiful kind of periwinkle twilight in the eastern sky, I have no problem feeling the presence of God. But when I'm sitting in the mall and people are coming up to me and asking me if I can give them their money back for things they bought at a store and then getting angry at me, it's hard to feel the beauty of God there. So I just kept asking God, "You're here. I know you're here. I want to see you. I want to hear you. I want to experience your personality." And I learned two things. One was that the personality of God is growing inside of me. And I need to just let him teach me that, even if I'm not totally happy with how other people are treating me. The other thing was that as we got close to Christmas, they started playing Christmas carols. And "Joy to the World, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her king" is playing through what many people call the Temple of Mammon. So 2,000 years later, in a very worldly place, you can still hear that coming through the loudspeakers. That, to me, was amazing. And that was part of the beauty of God.
Very good. Well expressed, Danielle. We'll have to get you up here more often. You have a nice way of expressing yourself. Very good. Bob Aljars, you're next.
Bill told me five. He told me two. I brought some show and tell items. So when Bill called me if I wanted to share, I said yes immediately. You don't see me up here very often. I used to have a microphone in my hand a lot, but the last years, I preferred not to touch a mic for a lot of reasons. And I've been wanting to get up a few times. The last 60 days, a lot of really cool things have been going on. And it's been a 9-year journey. A lot of you know some of the challenges. And after you're in a wilderness for 9 years, when something starts changing, it's It's significant and it's recognized immediately. And the scripture that I wanted to share was Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. And a lot of times when you start dealing with situations in your own understanding, that's when the enemy gets in. It's been my experience. And the thing that he really wants to do is take away your trust. And I remember one evening with visiting with Garrett and Evelyn, we're chatting, and as we do, deep conversations. And he says to me, well, you know, when Eve was in the garden, did Satan really tempt her to take the apple? Or did he actually tempt her to mistrust God? And that was huge, because I look back over my life, over some of the challenges, and that's exactly what happened. These little tapes started playing, and he mixes enough truth about your current circumstances that actually you easily believe his lies without realizing it. It's so subtle. So I realized that I drifted and I stopped trusting the Lord because the circumstances were kind of obvious that something was wrong here. And then, so about 10 years ago, I'm just going to give just a couple quick stories to illustrate my point here. And talking about the body, the Lord used a couple people here. He uses all of you in my life. I just appreciate you all. But I got two little show and tell things here that were pretty significant this year. And about 10 years ago, Marianne and I incorporated a nonprofit foundation. And I had this big plan that I was going to fund it up. I spent a lot of time in Switzerland, and I was going to fund it up to help orphans around the world. And I met all these cool guys with beautiful hearts doing great things, but they're always out of cash. And I got tired of all these meetings talking about how to generate cash. So I figured, okay, you guys, I'm not coming to any more of these meetings. I'll just go generate the cash. And it didn't quite work out that way. So you can appreciate after every year filling out these forms for CRA, 000000, but if you don't fill it out, you lose your status. So this February was another year end for the foundation. I called it the olive branch. As a kid, I always loved when that bird came back into the ark that Noah let out and came with an olive branch, signified new hope, new beginning, new life. So we had big plans. And then basically this spring, when so many things were going, I was just tired. Every time, oh, it looks like we're through, and then it blows up again. After 9 years, it's like, give your head a shake. So I didn't fill out the paperwork. I said, forget it. What's the point? Nothing's working anyways. We're driving to BC in August, and we stop at the Last Spike for a little picnic lunch. And my phone rings. It's CRA, and the lady says, you're about to lose your Olive Branch Foundation. Are you sure about this? And I said, I forgot. I didn't file, and I actually was just giving up on life. But so many things have happened since June. Maybe I'm on the road. I don't have any documentation. What should I do? She said, well, if you do this, this, and that, I'll save it for you. So I got to Jules' place and filled it all out, managed to save it. And October, things just really started happening. European banker gave me an invite. Within 2 weeks, I was in. After spending 9 years and flew a million miles and 1,000 nights in Switzerland and just on and on. Between my partner and I, it was 1,000 nights, but I was gone a lot. And then all of a sudden, I had everything established. And I said to Marianne this Saturday, October 21, I said to her, probably half a dozen times, poor lady, I said, why now? After all this time, why now? What's changed? Why now? And we go to Sam and Eliane for a barbecue that night. And he said, I think this is what he said. He told me he was coloring with the kids around the table waiting till we showed up. And he just was coloring with the kids on a piece of paper and said, Lord, you have a word for me today. And the Lord gave him three words. So he colored them on the paper as he kind of pictured them. And then as he was almost done, he sensed in his spirit, the Lord said, this is a word for Bob today. Give it to Bob. And we get there, and he kind of gives me this paper, almost feeling a little bit shy because what on earth does this mean? But this is what he gave me. You can't make this up. Why not now? I just appreciate Sam taking a risk and just following the word that was in his heart, because you blessed me big time. And So then the next 4 weeks, people are traveling. There's delays, and I'm almost starting to think, oh, no, not the same old story again. But I said, no, Lord, I'm trusting you. Then in the meantime, we get in a really nasty situation, my partners and I, some really strong allegations. We find ourselves in some serious legal battles, got to get all lawyered up and start defending ourselves. And I got a text four times, Exodus 14. I got it in 2 days. I think my 2 minutes are up, no? Sorry. I never planned nothing. I just wanted to say what came to my heart. And I got Exodus 14:14, four times. The Lord will fight for you. Hold your peace. And I got it four times. I thought, wow, okay, Lord, you're going to fight for me? Okay, so this is going to be all right, so I'm going to trust you? And when Moses said that to the people, like, the Lord's going to trust you guys, you know, like, he was speaking out of faith. He made a choice to trust. I realized that choice is also a trust. If he would have leaned on his understanding that day, he would have jumped in the river and who knows what. But he chose to trust the Lord. So I'm saying, okay, this is a few weeks ago. I said, Lord, I'm choosing to trust you. I'm going to hold my peace. But just can I have one word? This is a Sunday morning. I said, can I have one word in church? Just one word of confirmation. And I go check out the kitchen downstairs with Bert. And Clay comes running to me with a little piece of paper. He says, Mr. Bob, I got this word from Jesus for you. I don't know what it means, but here, and he chucks it at me and he runs off with his friends and said, peace. He had no idea what that meant to me, Clay. And at that moment when you gave me that word, I made a decision in my heart. I'm going to trust you, Lord, no matter what. So thank you. And then the next day, and then I'll wrap this up. The next day I'm in Calgary, and I do a lot of business there, and a friend of mine says, Bob, I'm just sensing in my heart you got to meet this guy tonight. I said, who? He said, oh, he operates in the prophetic. Are you okay with that? I said, yeah, I guess. Okay, so I'm going to call him up. I just sense that God wants to tell you something. So I go 7:30, Brown Social House on 17th Ave. I meet this guy, and he says, whoa, he says, I got a download for you. Are you okay with that? He says, I hope so, yeah. Yeah, bring it on. And he gave me this word. He says, the Lord is doing really big things in your life. There's huge things coming at you, but you don't dare embrace them because of what's all happened in the past, because of what's been going on these last years. But I'm here to tell you embrace them. God's doing some really big things for you. And I was so happy that Clay gave me that note the day before, that I chose in my heart to trust the Lord because it's a choice, and that I didn't lean on my understanding when bad news came, and I'm still trusting him. And this has just been the 60 days, and there's a whole pile more stories, but it's been a significant year, and I'm really excited about what's happening. So I want to encourage all of you, if you're in a situation where you're scared or it's uncertain or it's discouraging, just I dare you to make a choice to trust the Lord no matter what.
Hey, Bob. Peace. Good. Thank you. That was great. Great encouragement from hearing people's lives and people's stories. Thank you. I think you got some competition there, you know, for the future. You may not be able to keep up with it, Bill. And I do think that God's at work in it. You know, Joseph was 11 years approximately in the prison in preparation to become prime minister. So 9 years, you're on target. It's good. Yeah, it's good. All right. Who's next? I forgot my list here. Casey is next. Casey.
Good day, all. Just kind of listening for the car alarms and everything else to be going off. 3 years ago when I stood up here, there was all these car alarms going off and other distractions kind of sent me for a little bit of a tailspin, but we're in a different place now. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Well, this has been an amazing year. And trying to look at what has really truly impacted me this year was kind of hard. But I'd have to say, if I was to really just look at one thing, considering I have a time frame, it'd be to the idea of realizing that first thing, that God is always with me. And that no matter what, if I choose to look in the storm, that I will find his peace, I'll find his love, and I'll find his presence. Well, not that long ago, I was heading to work. I think it was a Wednesday. And I've been having problems with breathing and stuff like that. I was diagnosed with bronchitis, given a prescription and an inhaler, and told to just go home. Everything will be okay. Well, my wife was getting more and more concerned, and I just, you know, just kind of ignored it, still just being at peace and just looking at whatever God is showing me. And I wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning and head myself off to work, and I got about 3/4 of the way to work, and all of a sudden it came very clear that I was to pull over at Tim Hortons, not to grab myself a coffee, but to make the phone call that needed to be made and to take care of what needed to be taken care of. Well, still trying to fight a little bit, because that's kind of my nature. I go home and try to go back into bed. Well, that didn't really work. My wife gave me this whole 3-minute warning that if I'm not in the car in 3 minutes, that I'll be crying over the ambulance bill. Well, so needless to say, I got in the car, didn't want to cry about the ambulance bill, so anyhow, I got in the car, went in there, and these guys were taking things a lot more serious than I was taking it. I was still kind of, I don't know how you would, what the word would be, I wasn't paying attention to it. But after they realized that my heart was in great condition, they did more tests and everything else to find out that I had several blood clots in both lungs. And they considered one lung to be somewhat littered. Everybody else seemed to be so alarmed, and I was not. The nurse, even kind of annoyed with how not alarmed I was, decided to ask me to Google this, my symptoms, and for me to look into what they're actually speaking about. I Googled it, realized what it was all about, the blood clots in the lungs, and still very comfortable and waiting to go home, annoying the heck out of my wife. Well, as the doctor was giving me the diagnosis and giving me the medications and the pills and the needle that was needed and telling me about what's lying ahead, I looked at him and I just asked him, I says, what could you do for me that I cannot do at home? Once again, still annoying my wife, he just said to me, well, there's not much else. So he was ready to send me home. He asked if I needed any pain medication, and I definitely, due to my testimony and my background, the last thing I needed was other drugs. So I decided not to take that. I went home and sat there and just really paid attention for the first time and listened to what God was showing me and speaking to me. And it was just to seek his comfort, his peace, and his love, and to realize that even though I'm asked to stay home for a very long period of time, which is driving me crazy at times, that I could find the peace and I could find the love. And I've been going deeper into Scripture than I ever have. I've been looking for ways to not only keep my spirit clean, but to keep my surroundings clean. I've been experiencing other battles, but at the same time, I've been actually praying to learn how to use what I've been blessed with. And to me, there are so many times in the past that I always ask, Lord, give me this, give me that, give me this. And, you know, it came to me that I already have it. I firmly believe that we are blessed with all that we need to have success in the name of Jesus. So then I needed to start asking how to apply and how to use what you've given me. Well, it's been very interesting. I'm still on the mend. I'm still not back at work. And I'm learning to be comfortable where I'm not comfortable. This whole struggle has also caused a lot of other issues. 3 days after my diagnosis, Jennifer's cousin, Suzanne, was diagnosed with the exact same thing, given the exact same medication. And God rest, may she rest in God's hands, but she had passed away 3 days after. So the struggle was real. The battle was real. But it was just so comforting to know that God is always with us. Yeah, we are not alone. And I'm so grateful for it. Anyhow, I wrote down all kinds of things and I didn't even speak of any of it. So I absolutely love that. Anyhow, and no joke, none of this I even spoke. But anyhow, the verse that I'm going to go to is Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Just an amazing verse. And it is applied. It's been written on my heart since just about day one. And I just am so grateful for it. And I think that's about it, since I'm not really speaking about this. Yeah.
Yes, you're a natural preacher. You got more notes than you got time. That would be good. That would be Bill's case sometimes too. The last one is Megan Slingerland. She's going to come and share with us. We look forward to if we had time, we would have opened the door for others, but I think you're going to probably take the rest of the time, right?
I wasn't expecting to feel so nervous. That's okay. You guys are family. When Bill asked me to highlight part of my journey from 2017, I guess a couple thoughts came to mind, and I'd like to just start with a piece of scripture. It's Ephesians 2, 18 to 23. I pray that the eyes of the heart of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope in which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is evoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything in the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. In Ephesians 2, 6 through 7, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. And I guess for me, I know like God has been working to transition my mind more and more, but I feel like this year, even more so, is just the idea that we have access to everything that the Holy Spirit has to offer. And he lives inside of me, and I feel that more and more I'm able to rest in his power instead of trying to exert my own every time. The idea that, I guess when I was little, I was taught like the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. All those things are like evidence of the Spirit, and I guess there's a part of me that worked for that, that just like, okay, I'm going to be a good little girl. I'm going to love people the best I can. I'm going to be joyful the best I can. And I would do what I could to exhibit the fruits of the Spirit so that people could know, like, I'm a Christian. So if, as long as I'm, you know, doing these things, but quite frankly, like, I'm not always able to express those things. And when I made a mind shift to say, no, the Holy Spirit is inside of me, I have access to what he is doing versus what I am doing, you know, when I don't have patience, and I claim patience. Like, the Holy Spirit is in me, and when I feel like being angry and lashing out, I claim self-control in the name of Jesus. And I just love this idea that everything that Christ did, his whole power, his resurrection, like talking about so much power, and then afterwards he just like sat down, like he just went and he's seated at the right hand of the Father. And then in Ephesians 2 says, we are seated with Christ at the right hand of the Father. We're seated with him. The work is done. It's not like, oh, that person needs love. I gotta get loving, you know? Instead, it's like, I claim love. It's done. Like, it's done. I can sit and I can be at peace because he's just inside of me, and those things can just come out. And I find the more that, the faster I give up, the sooner he takes over. And it's impacted my marriage. It's impacted the way I parent and my relationships with people. Like, I feel like so much. I've come more and more to the end of myself. Like, I've been tested this year, but I'm coming to the end of myself. But then every time I just see his Spirit, like, do the work in me. And that's it.
I was looking for the nervousness, Megan. I didn't see it. It was really well done. There is a kind of a several themes going on this morning, but one of which was coming to the end of yourself. All right, kind of heard it in all of them. Coming to the end of yourself, and then what do you have? You have Jesus. You have the Holy Spirit who's in you. Thank you. Thank you for those reminders. They were very helpful and very encouraging. And we got to do this again. I think so. It's very, very good. So let's